Wednesday, 5 p.m. A beautiful Wednesday at that. Time for American Hit Radio, 90.3 WHPC. I'm your host, Tom Ryan. Lovely wife, co-host, engineer extraordinaire, Heidi Morales Ryan here as well for the next hour. Every Wednesday and Friday, you'll find us here talking about music and such. Wednesdays, working our way through albums, some top 500 albums, list of the top 40, our favorite albums from the top 40, I should say, and another list of albums that did not make the top 40 that we consider important and fun to play and want to turn you on to. This is one of those. This is an album released in November of 1969, and it did not chart at all, which is rather amazing in America when it came out in November of 1969, considering the popularity of the artist, none other than David Bowie. What would have been, I guess it would have been his solo album here in the States.
My favorite underdog.
If you did the math weird, Bowie definitely started out as an underdog. But, well, I guess we'll talk about the album a little bit later because the story of, you know, his album lineage is kind of odd. But when it was released here in America, the album was called Space Oddity. The title track, obviously, was released as a single when the album came out, actually just before the album. Space Oddity was released originally in August of 1969, which was right after the moon landing, right?
How apropos.
So you think this is perfect. It did terribly on the charts. It didn't even break the top 100. The single only climbed up to a number 124. So they decided that they weren't going to release the album here in America. Bowie was essentially a nobody. For some reason, and I don't really know the full story as to why, it was decided that they would release it again over 3 years later. The single Space Oddity was released a second time around January of 1973. Or that's when it reappeared on the charts. Like I said, that's like, what, over 4 years? I'm sorry, over 3 years later? 3.5 years? And this time around, the song becomes huge. It climbs to number 15 on the pop charts. Really, that was, for most America, that was everybody's introduction to David Bowie, was a song recorded in 1969 that failed terribly, that was charted again over 3 years later and became a hit.
He was ahead of his time.
Welcome. Yeah, it took America 3.5 years to basically realize that, hey, this guy Bowie's pretty hip. And then not knowing that that was 3 years ago and there's a lot more stuff that has happened since then. We'll continue the story with the surprise that Bowie turned out to be here in America. But let's play the opening track from the album Space Oddity, which happens to be the title track.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom.
7, 6.
Commencing countdown, engines on.
3, 2.
Check ignition and may God's love be with you. This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade, and the papers want to know whose shirt's
tiptoe, I'm stepping through the door, and I'm floating in the most peculiar way, and the stars look very different today. In a tin can, far above the world. Planet Earth is blue, and there's nothing I can do.
Song that introduced the United States to David Bowie.
I had no idea today was going to be a sing-along day.
Now, there's two ways to tell the story here, so I'll tell it both ways, if I may. The first is the British story. Bowie, of course, being from London, started his career there in England, and his first after a variety of like bands that were, you know, terribly unsuccessful, he released his first solo album, which was a very odd album, an album that I personally love, but most other people, even in retrospect, do not. Very like show busy, songs about rubber bands and laughing gnomes and little bombardiers and, you know, odd character studies and really strange orchestration. It's a silly album, but it's a fun album. But anyway, it didn't go anywhere for him. And he realized that he really needed to change his career. And so he decided to basically move in two things at the same time. He went in like a folky direction and also in a direction that pointed to the futures, you know, basically in regard to space. He came up with the song Space Oddity, and it became a big hit in Great Britain in 1969. And that started his career as a star in his own home country. Here in America, though, as I said, very different story. The single failed. The album ended up not even being released here in America. And Bowie's career continued to explode in England, album after album. His second album, called Simply David Bowie, was the Space Oddity album. He put out a hard rock album. He put out an album called Hunky Dory. Then, of course, he put out Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. None of these albums did anything here in America. Now, here's the American story told from a first-person account. Me, a little kid who listened to pop radio every day of my life. As you know, Heidi, I would map out from listening to Casey Kasem whenever he did American Top 40. He would do the countdown on the radio, and I would religiously listen and write down the top 40 songs on legal pads. And I did this for years.
You have composition notebooks as well.
Right. 1973, I was really smack dab in the middle of this habit of mine, this addiction, really. And that's when I first heard the song Space Oddity by David Bowie. It was, like I said, 4 years after it was released in England. It was a hit here in America in 1973. It sounded cool and contemporary. And I would go sometimes to, you know, shopping with my parents. I'm a kid, don't forget. And I'd always go to the record department and department stores, and I would see a new David Bowie album that was on display called Aladdin Sane, which is where he's got his face painted, and you see that
lightning bolt
going across his face. And I'm like, that's the Space Oddity guy. That looks just the way I'd imagine the Space Oddity guy to look. That's so cool. So I eventually bought the album, Aladdin Sane, brought it home, played it, hated it. Didn't like it at all. I was expecting music like the song Space Oddity that I had heard on the radio, and this stuff was just really crazy, real like almost cacophony sort of music.
I liked it.
So much going on. I just didn't really like it. I played the album, though, about maybe four or five times, and by the fifth time I played it, it was the favorite album of my entire life. I loved everything about it. It was fantastic. I was reborn as a huge David Bowie fan. Aladdin Sane is the best. I mean, Aladdin Sane was the best album ever. I had to find more about Bowie. So I started to move through his catalog backward. The next thing I bought was Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. I get that. I bring that home. I play it. Hated it. It sounded nothing at all like Aladdin Sane to me. It had a thinner sound. It wasn't that loud cacophony
loved
that I was
it.
Talking about. I loved it. And I said, how come now it just sounds like kind of like razor thin rock and roll? Well, I played that album about four or five times and totally loved it. I thought it was awesome. From 5 years to Rock and Roll Suicide, I think this album is as good as Aladdin Sane. It's fantastic. This guy Bowie's incredible. These albums don't sound anything alike, but they're both amazing. So I'll go back and I'll buy yet another one. So maybe two or three or 4 months later, I find myself buying the album Hunky Dory. Brought that home.
Hated
it. What's this about? It's like a folk album.
Yeah, it is.
Like, this doesn't sound like the guy who did, you know, Aladdin Sane or like the guy that did Ziggy Stardust. He sounds like a long-haired hippie. This doesn't make any sense.
Well, the cover was a giveaway on that one.
Kind of. But I also figured, okay, he's a bit of a shapeshifter. You know, he's just going to sound different. So I play that album four or five times. Totally fell in love with it. To this day, that is one of my favorite albums of all time.
Yes.
But it took a while because none of these albums met my expectations.
Although still don't like Diamond Dogs. Just going to put that out there.
At this point, that was before that ever came out. So that's irrelevant
at
this point. I'm working my way backward through Bowie's catalog.
I see.
Finding the albums that nobody in America bought when they first came out anyway. So the album before Hunky Dory was an album called Man Who Sold the World. Bought that. It had a black and white cover with him.
Do not tell me you hated that too.
I actually did. I hated it.
You deserve to be beat.
And when I played, I had to play that again four or five times. And now I began to really like it. It was a great album for me to like play drums to because it was heavy. And I was learning like to play an instrument to that album for some reason. And it's not my favorite Bowie album, but it was pretty darn good. So I finally end up going back to the re-released version of Space Oddity that came out pretty close to the time that Aladdin Sane had come out. So now I finally get that and I play it. And once again, I'm like, you know, this album just isn't that good.
Oh, no.
And you play it over and over and over again.
You think you'd be used to having low expectations that you're going to play.
Well, it's really all because Bowie changed so much from album to album to album going in a forward direction that if you were a fan, it would have been like an exciting thing to hear him grow and change the way that he did. But America learned his stuff backward. I was just one of those guys. I mean, before the album Aladdin Sane came out, none of his stuff sold here, including Ziggy Stardust. It was never a big seller. We covered Ziggy Stardust in our series as an alternative to the top 40 because it didn't make the top 40. So that's what I'm talking about. Bowie was just not that instant success here. And I found all of this stuff later. But now, the first album, you can hear Bowie's influence. Here he is, like I said, the album that came, I'm saying first album because in America, that's what it was. His first album really was that really weird album, like I said, the Anthony Newley album with the weird characters about gnomes and grave diggers and
what was it called?
Rubber bands. In America, it eventually came out as a double album called Images. There, it was also called David Bowie. It was like he had the David album, David Bowie, and then the British album, David Bowie, which in America became released as we're playing it now as Space Oddity.
I see.
It was essentially the exact same album. They really made no change to it at all. But what you hear is Bowie dropping that weird theatrical stuff and becoming like a space-age Bob Dylan on this album, which again was weird because Space Oddity doesn't sound like the rest of the album, as you're about to find out. Let's play the next track. I think this is a great example of like hearing Bowie approaching lyrics in a very Dylan-esque manner. And it's a lot of fun if you can hang on and listen to his words. It's called Unwashed and Somewhat Slightly Dazed.
Bye, bye, pretty girl. I see you see me through your window. Don't turn your nose up. Well, you can if you need to. You won't be the first or last. It must strain you to look down so far from your father's house. And I know what a louse like me in his house could do for you. I'm the cream of the great utopia dream. And you're me in the depths of your bank of sleep.
it.
Oh, right. I dropped in that little tag there because that was on the original album. It was that little 40-second piece, Don't Sit Down, was edited off of the American album, but then later added back in the CD era. So there it is. All right. The track we just heard is called Unwashed and Somewhat Slightly Dazed. I would say on so many levels, it sounds like it's been influenced by Dylan. The lyrics are very much like something that Dylan would have done in his like late 60s period around the Blonde on Blonde era, with a lot of crazy references to a variety of things. And of course, the harmonica playing that is jams out the record. And here, Bowie jamming is pretty incredible besides. But then again,
a message from his hunky-dory days.
This is before that.
Oh, how about that?
That's my point. This is well before that. Remember in the beginning,
I'm so
I was
confused.
Talking. See, I was talking backwards. Those albums, I was going backward in time.
Gonna fail the pop quiz.
At this stage, America, like I said, wouldn't have had a clue who Bowie was. We still didn't even know the song Space Oddity in 1969. The album was out, but it wasn't being sold here really at all. But he was a hit at this point in England. And the song Space Oddity, which started the album, kind of sort of set the mood for the rest of the album, because it made everything on it sound very like modern or futuristic, when in fact it really wasn't. The album was recorded at a different time. It doesn't have it's a folk album. But because of like Bowie being who he is and the song Space Oddity being on the album, it gave it this sort of like a futuristic folk vibe. We'll play this next track, which is a letter, in a sense, to Bowie's girlfriend at the time. I think this might have been right around the time that he was breaking up with her. Her name was Hermione. And at the time, I did not know how to pronounce that name. So I used to always call this song Letter to Hermione. Now I realize, I guess through the magic of Harry Potter movies, that her name is actually Hermione. So we'll play that first, then we'll go into the next track, which is a rather long one entitled Signet Committee.
The hand that wrote this letter sweeps the billow clean. So rest your head and read a treasured dream. I care for no one else but you. I tear my soul to cease the pain. I think maybe you feel the same. What can we do? I'm not quite sure what we're supposed to do. So I've been writing just for you. They say your life is going very well. They say you sparkle like a different girl. But something tells me that you hide. When all the world is warm and tired, you cry a little in the dark. Well, so do I. I'm not quite sure what you're supposed to say, but I can see it's not okay. He makes you laugh, he brings you out in style. He treats you well and makes you up real fine. And when he's strong for you. And when you kiss, it's something new. But did you ever call my name just by mistake? I'm not quite sure what I'm supposed to do. So I'll just write some love to you.
Thank you.
guess. Because of you, I need to rest. Because it's you that sets the test. So much has gone, and little is new.
Stop!
Signet Committee, the name of that really early masterpiece, I would say. It's a remarkable song.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Setting up some cool themes that Bowie would get into later on. It was sort of like him setting him apart from the hippies, about basically a charismatic leader, and basically ends up being disowned by his own followers, more or less.
But right.
It's a bit vague. It's pretty cool. But there's also like references to Dylan and MC5. He mentions Kick Out the Jams. He mentions Desolation Row. And a lot going on in that.
Yeah.
Okay, now, of course, this was from the days of vinyl. I'd be flipping the record at this point to play side two. Another song that maybe sets up Bowie and the variety of personalities that would eventually define his career as he moved forward, the variety of faces that he put on. This song is called Janine.
I'm helpless for your smile. Like a foolish wanderer, I travel ever onwards to your land. And were it not just for the jewels, I'd close your hand. If you're strange, demand to color take my mind. Scares me into gloom, you're too intense, I'll have to keep. I've no defense, I've got to keep my veil on my face. Janine, Janine, you'd like to know me well, but I've got things inside my head that even I can't face. Janine, Janine, you'd like to harass me once, but if you take an axe to me, you're killing me. I'm not obliged to read the statements of the year. Well, so take your glasses off and don't act so sincere. But Janine, but Janine, you'd like to know me well. Well, I've got things inside my head that even I can't face. But Janine, you'd like to crush the walls. Well, if you take an axe. Thank you.
oh so close, but not really close our eyes. Between the sheets of summer making blue, gently weeping nights. It was long ago, long ago, and I still can't touch your name. For the days of fate were strong for you, danced you far from me. In my madness, I see your face in mine. I keep a photograph, it burns my wall with time.
Again, one of the folkier songs on the album. That's called An Occasional Dream. This album's recorded 50 years ago, and yet parts of it sound downright contemporary. I mean, songs like Signet Committee, Janine, these would fit in with like Americana bands like Wilco if it came out now. But let's keep going because I want to get everything to fit in. This next track features a 50-piece orchestra, so that we're willing to spend some money on the guy on this debut, even though he didn't have success yet. It's called Wild-Eyed Boy from Free Cloud.
Solemn-faced, the village settles down, undetected by the stars.
If this suffice, you know him.
Plays the mandolin before he goes to sleep, and the last thing on his mind is the wild-eyed boy imprisoned neath the covered wooden shaft. Folds the rope into its back, blows his pipe of smoulders, blankets smoke into the room, and the day will end for some. As the night begins for one, mountain called Free Cloud, where the eagle dare not fly, and the patience in his sight gives no indication for the townsman to decide. So the village dreadful yawns, pronouncing gross diversion as the label for the darker. Oh, it's the madness in his eyes as he breaks the night to cry, it's really me.
Free. smile stayed on the face of the wide-eyed boy from Free Cloud. And the women once proud clutched the heart of the crowd as the boulder smashed down from the mountain's hand. And the magic and the stare of the wild-eyed boy said, "Stop, Free Cloud, they won't think to cut me down." Rumbling ground and the missionary mystic of peace love stumbled back to cry among the clouds. Kicking back the pebbles from the Free Cloud mountain track.
Wild-eyed boy from Free Cloud, a song inspired by Buddhism. Very interesting story. Next track up is called God Knows I'm Good. It's interesting because it's actually the tale of a poor old woman who has to basically do some shoplifting in order to survive. And it's a sad story. And we'll play after that the last song on the album called Memory of a Free Festival, since there's not much time for me to talk when we come back. So enjoy them both, and we'll see you on Friday, folks. Take care. Bye-bye.
I was walking through the counters of a national concern, and a cash machine was spitting by my shoulder. And I saw the multitude of faces, honest, rich and clean, as the merchandise exchanged and money rolled. And a woman hot with worry slyly slipped a tin of a stewing steak into the paper bag at her side. And her face was white with fear in case her actions were observed, so she closed her eyes to keep her conscience blind, crying, God knows I'm good, God knows I'm good, God knows I'm good. God may look the other way today. God knows I'm good, God knows I'm good, God knows I'm good. God may look the other way today. Then she moved toward the exit, clutching tightly at her paper bag. Perspiration trickled down her forehead, and her heart had leapt inside her as a hand laid on her shoulder. She was led away, bewildered and amazed. Through her deafened ears, the cash machines were shrieking on the counter as her escort asked her softly for her name. And a crowd of honest people rushed to help a tired old lady who had fainted to the whirling wooden floor, crying, God knows I'm good, God knows I'm good, God knows I'm good. Surely God won't look the other way. God knows I'm good, God knows I'm good, God knows I'm good. Surely God won't look the other way. Hey.
Should announce it, shall I? The memory of a free festival.
the children of the summer's end, gathered in the dampened grass. We played our songs and felt the London sky resting on our hands. It was God's land. It was ragged and naive. It was heaven. Touch, we touch the very soul of holding each and every life. We claim the very source of joy ran through. It didn't, but it seemed that way. I kissed a lot of people that day. Oh, to capture just one drop of all the ecstasy that swept that afternoon, to paint that love upon a white balloon and fly it from the toppest top of all the tops that man has pushed beyond his brain. Satori must be something just the same. We scanned the skies with rainbow eyes and saw machines of every shape and size. We talked with tall Venusians passing through, and Peter tried to climb aboard, but the captain shook his head, and away they soared, climbing through the ivory vibrant cloud. Someone passed and blessed among the crowd, and we walked back to the road, unchanged.